हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनामधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषा प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवत्सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके पेज 50 The self-centered materialistic ego, thus being transformed into three features, becomes known as the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance in three divisions. Namely, the powers that evolve matter, Dravya Shakti, knowledge of material creations, Kriya Shakti, and the intelligence that guides such material activities, Jnana Shakti. Yes?
Yes?
No? So here's another slight. It means Dravya Shakti is there, the powers that evolve nature, because you always have the material cause. Material nature is always changing, evolving. We're taking part in the process, right, through the Kriya Shakti. But the matter itself is what transforms. So that power that evolves that. But the interesting thing is they're coming from ignorance, right? If ignorance is creating the elements, it's also ignorance that makes them combine together and come apart. So basically, everything is going by this false ego, right? Everything is false ego here. That's why if you change the ego, you're no longer involved in the material. And if you don't change the ego, then you're still involved with the material.
Yes.
Right? Because yes. The jiva is either under the internal or under the external, right? The neutral position is not something that can be maintained.
Mm-hmm.
Right, one is in the neutral position, so you can choose, but you have to choose. Right, we're too small to not choose.
Mm-hmm.
Is that yeah. Make sense? Yeah.
So it's not about being involved. It's about not identifying.
It's not identifying. Yes, because the point is matter will involve, activities will happen,
yes.
and the knowledge how it's done will still remain, because everything is going to function under the modes here. The difference is, are you controlled by them, or you're working with them in Krishna's service?
Yes.
Because that's the point, is you're going to be controlled by Yoga Maya or controlled by Mahamaya. If you're controlled by Yoga Maya, then you're just engaging the external energy in Krishna's service under Yoga Maya. Right? So, in other words, you're cooking for Krishna, but somehow or another, you know, the potatoes aren't in such good shape. You have to, you know, cut half of them off. The cauliflower looks a bit, you know, not so happy, you know, and stuff like that. So, you're cooking with inferior ingredients, but you're cooking for Krishna.
Yes.
Right? So, that's how the devotee functions in the material world, is they're using the material energy in Krishna's service. So, it's not as ideal as the internal potency. But it's under Yoga Maya, so it's for Krishna. That's why for the devotee, ultimately it doesn't really matter where they are. Because for them, being in the spiritual world is a matter of consciousness, not location. Right? Because we're thinking, oh, this is so bad, what am I getting out of here? But it's consciousness that whether you're out here. Sukadeva Goswami, he's walking along and they're creating all kinds of trouble for him, but
yeah.
He's not in the material world, because it just doesn't matter.
Hmm.
What if this means our light bulb is going to die?
Yes.
Maybe we should turn it off. Yes. Not overly ideal.
No.
Even when you get a light bulb, you can't use it.
Yeah. inferior. Like inferior energy.
Yes.
In the clock service.
Yeah, no, this is the inferior energy of the inferior energy.
Yes. Exactly. So the reason we want to go to the spiritual world is because it will give a better result for Krishna.
It's just the association is stable, it's steady. In other words, we want to be permanently in the consciousness of always serving Krishna with affection. That's the spiritual world. Because the spiritual world means where people are doing that. So if you're doing that here, you're in the spiritual world. Because the spiritual world is managed by yoga maya. The material world is managed by mahamaya. That's why even the nicest person here still is managed by mahamaya. Like, just like the good person, they're forced to be good. Right? The bad person is forced to be bad. You have to do whatever you're going to do. Right? So, therefore, the thing is you work with the modes, but you're connecting it to Krishna. Then you're on the transcendental platform. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How do you deal with that statement, it doesn't matter whether one is in heaven or hell?
That's the statement we're working off of here.
So then it doesn't matter where one's situated, as long as one's connected, and then you're not looking for that escape from the situation.
Because it's not the situation that's creating the problem. You know what I'm saying? Your body's dead matter, and it's interacting with other dead matter. And then we're saying it's a problem. You know? Where are rocks?
Oh.
Just if we need them, we're not here. There you go. Okay. Rock A. Hey, out of my way, pipsqueak. What do you mean? Just because you're bigger, that makes you superior? Okay, is there a problem here?
Clearly there is.
Huh? On one level, we can say yes. On another level, do the rocks care? You know, I take this rock, beat this rock. Does the other rock care? Does it go complain to, you know, how you say, you know, rock abuse, you know, how you say, you know, incorporated or something, you know. You know, or, you know, how you say, yeah, abuse international or something, you know. Is it? It doesn't care. So who cares?
We do.
We do. And we are?
The other
side. Okay, yes. I know we're the champions, so that's why we're here. You know, that's the song of the material world. Yeah. We're the controllers and enjoyers. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know who's leading the song? You know, because there's a crowd there, and they all got their hands on each other's shoulders and all that. Maya's in the middle leading the song. You know? So that's what we don't quite catch. You know? You know, we must be good. You know, hey, this chick's hanging out with us. You know. Any alternative answer? What about, like, maybe the soul, maybe? Yeah, I guess that's the obvious. Yeah, it's kind of our stuff. Too silly. Yeah, we need something. So, does that make sense? That's why we study all this complicated stuff. Because once we get to the point where it's so complicated, then we start be able to see things simply. Does that make sense? You know, yes?
If we don't, means it's not that complicated yet?
Basically.
8 more years.
And this is the stuff on Tattva, then there's Rasa, right?
Maharaj, then soul is not involved and there is a dead matter. Then
yes.
Who's feeling hot and cold, pain? And
the soul.
Because of the identity.
Because of the identity. It doesn't, it's just like this. Let us take middle of winter here, right? We're all wrapped up and everything like that, okay?
Yeah.
And then one devotee, you know, gets a little break. You know, he's from northern Siberia. He comes down here in winter. What's he walking around in?
T-shirt.
Right. And even that, he's only walking around in a T-shirt because of etiquette. Otherwise, he'd take that off, right? So is it hot or is it cold?
It's relative.
Yeah, it's relative. You know, they said, I think it was a BTG article. They found something that on the bottom of the ocean where you have these volcanic fissures and the lava comes through, so the water right at that point hits something like 630 degrees, you know, so I'm not sure what that would be in centigrade, but it's many times above boiling.
Mm-hmm.
So when it hits that, there's these little bugs that live there. When it gets to that temperature, then they start multiplying and it's all happening. And if it just a few degrees gets less than that, then it all stops, you know, party's over. You know, it's winter time. Yeah. You know, and it's just a couple of degrees, like, you know, 6:37 is like, you know, happy hour, you know, and if it hits 6:35, then it's all like, so they shut down in this depression, you know, it's like recession, and, you know, like that.
All over the news.
Yeah. So it's generally pretty relative to the. So we're the one that identifies, as Prabhupada mentioned. He says it's not the body that's the doctor; it's the soul that's the doctor, because the body doesn't identify as a doctor. The body can be engaged in any activity. It's the soul that identifies as the doctor. Therefore, the body gets engaged in doctor activities. Right. Does that make sense? So the body is just the instrument. Right? Because you always have the subject and the object. And then there's something used as a medium, as an instrument. So we're thinking we're the subject, and the material nature is the object, so the body is the instrument.
Right.
Yeah, like that. But when we identify that we're the instrument, and we're just assisting these greater potencies, you know, in serving Krishna, then everything works out nice, because we're not the subject, you know, try as we might, you know, we're just not the subject. Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah. So then, the ego then transforms into these three features, becomes the modes of nature. Right? So that's how it is. From false ego, the transformation of that, then you get these three known as the modes of nature. Mm. And so then there here is the Dravya Shakti, the Kriya Shakti, and the Jnana Shakti. Right? Because before this, we just know that there are modes and they have their effect. Right? So this is first time it's being brought out, you know, very strongly about this Dravya, Kriya, and Jnana Shakti. Right. So the evolution of the matter, that's the Dravya Shakti. So Dravya is turning into Dravya, right? Things are turning into other things. So just transfer.
Which mode is that?
Ignorance. Yeah. You understand? Dravya is the ignorance, because that's what you can actually see. It's the grossest of that. And that's what we identify with. We think what's going on is the Dravya. But Dravya is just the, you know what I'm saying, that's the ignorance. We don't see the Shakti behind it.
But
and the Shakti comes from Krishna.
It will always be ignorance.
It'll always be ignorance. Right. Like that. Then the Kriya Shakti, that's the knowledge of material creations, how it works. Okay, you know if I do this, I'll get that, and all these kind of things. That's the Kriya Shakti, mode of passion. Right. And then the intelligence that guides such materialistic activities, that's Jnana Shakti. Because right? why would you do? Okay, I have a Dravya, and I know what you can do with it, and I can get a result. Right? So the point is that I do something because I can see a result. If I don't see the result, I don't do anything. So that means then the Jnana Shakti is the mode of goodness. Right? So that's why then, if the Jnana Shakti is used according to Shastra, then it's actually situated in goodness. Otherwise, then we're using Jnana Shakti in passion or ignorance, and we end up with other stuff. It gets things done. But it still doesn't satisfy the soul. So even the mode of goodness won't satisfy the soul, but there'll be a little bit more, it's a more pleasant situation. So it's when it's according to Shastra to please Krishna, that's when the soul gets satisfied. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now, but usually intelligence is connected with passion.
Sorry?
Intelligence is connected with passion.
Oh, the point is that the knowledge, the intelligence that guides such materialistic activities means it's guiding the Kriya Shakti and the dealing with, you know, and the understanding of the Dravya. So in other words, it's through goodness, if you look at what you have around you and what you can do with it, that will be better. Yes. So therefore, you're trying to establish the Jnana Shakti in its natural position of goodness. Right? The modern society will position it in passion and ignorance. Right? But it still works on the same mechanics. Those who know are successful, those who don't know aren't. Right? Because it's not by chance, it's not by luck. Technically, there's no such thing really as luck. There's proper dealing with the material energy, you get your results. Mm-hmm. Now, because of your improper dealing or proper dealing in the past, therefore when you deal now, you may or may not get your results. Right? You know, so the situation works out perfectly even though it didn't look like it would. We call that luck. It just means that in the past you dealt properly, therefore you're getting the results. But on one sense, if you take luck coming from lucky, you know, the Bengali that it came into English from that. So then yes, when you're pleasing the Lord's energy by dealing with the Lord's energy properly, then you get good results. So yes, that's lucky, but it's still you're doing the proper thing. So it's not by chance. It's just they don't know the law of karma. Therefore, luck seems to be chance rather than science. Right? Okay. So all these, because this is the mode. So now there's always the mix of them. Now, but what is it based on? Right? Because the false ego is technically ignorance. Mm-hmm. So that means these three are based on ignorance. That's why you'll see the element of all of these will be in ignorance. Right? In other words, the things themselves, the knowledge of how you deal with them to get what results and the results that you can get. You know what I'm saying? That's going to all be there within ignorance, within the sambandha. Does that make sense? But the basis of sambandha jnana in the material world is dravya. Yes. It's ignorance, right? The man drives up in, you know, one of these, you know, 12-cylinder Mercedes, like that, parks it there, the valet takes the keys. Now, when I look at him, is he successful or not?
Yes.
Why? Well, how do I know? I've never seen the guy before.
By
the dravya, right? By the car. Right?
Could be a hired car.
Could be a hired car, yeah, but we don't know. But the first thing we'll think is this guy's successful.
Right? At least he could hire it.
Huh? At least he could hire it, yeah. At least he had the credit to hire it, or at least he had the, you know, what do you call
probably
it?
Probably has a driver's license. That's also...
Yeah, possibly. He may not have any of those. He may be a total scam artist, right? But he's a successful scam artist, yes. Because he's scammed us, right? Yes. So that's the point, is we judge success on dravya. Right? And dravya here, at least in the modern, means external. What we see in earth, water, fire, air. Right? Even ether. Okay, he's got, you know, acres of property. Right? But we're looking more at the land rather than the space. But, you know, it's there. But mind, intelligence, false ego, good qualities, this and that, people may not appreciate that. That's also dravya. So in the Veda, if you look at a combination of the gross and the subtle, then you make a determination whether the person is successful or not. Right? But the devotionals, you look at the spiritual, and you don't worry about the other two. Right? Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. Then what we'll say is, no, he has bad character. He cannot be a devotee. So that means devotional service is dependent upon good material character. Right? Or, you know, he's such a loser materially. How can he be advanced in devotional service? So, yes. Does that make sense? Yes. We look at it that way. He doesn't have much knowledge. So we will judge by this dravya. That's just our habit.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then you should never see each specific element independent of the others. You should always see the three together. And then you'll actually get the picture of the situation.
Yeah, you get a better picture. But of them, the primary is the devotional, the spiritual. Next is the subtle. Next is the gross. Mm-hmm.
So then it's always led through... Jnana would be the thing that you'd always focus first to adjust the other two, or would you just...
No, I mean, it's jnana is only used as a tool if the devotional view is not the strongest. Mm-hmm. I'm saying. So since we're used to karma and jnana, we engage in activities with proper understanding. Right? That will develop then our absorption in Krishna.
So, is it that dravya is gross?
The dravya is the eight material elements.
Yes. Kriya is subtle.
Kriya is the activities that you can perform.
Okay.
That get results. The activity that generates a result.
Yes.
So or if you're a shlemiel, then the activities that don't, I mean, they generate a result for the shlemazel, right?
So, yeah. Okay. That cleared it up nicely.
Okay, yes.
And the jnana shakti?
Is the intelligence that guides that. So when jnana is connected to the Vedas, then that works better. But when it's connected to devotion, then that works the best.
Okay, so yes.
Because that's your goal. So your goal is gross materialism or, a sattvic or pious materialism, or it's devotional.
Yes.
In his purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the materialistic ego, or the sense of identification with matter, is grossly self-centered and is devoid of clear knowledge of existence of God. Right? So you can see why they're talking about very gross, because we see the subtlety in which, the mind is not really that subtle. It only does two things. Right? The intelligence is not, it only does two things. The ego basically does one thing. Right, so you're talking about five things. These others, then we're getting very subtle in the creation and how things are these non-difference and the transformations and all these things. Right, this self-centered egoism of the materialistic living entity is the cause of their being conditioned by the other paraphernalia and continuing their bondage of material existence. Right, you get conditioned. You identify with it. You get conditioned by it. There's a nice situation, you get conditioned to it. You can't deal in a bad situation. You get conditioned by a bad situation. If you're put in a good situation, you don't believe it. You won't function as if it's good. Let's say you're with people you can't trust. Then if you actually, and you get conditioned to that, you get with people who are trustworthy, you won't trust them. You'll still break the relationships and everything. It's just you get conditioned by the matter around you. In the Bhagavad Gita, this self-centered egoism is very nicely explained in the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27, footnote 25. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Now, that was what was being discussed by the Acharyas before. They only see back to Brahman. They can't actually see the spiritual world. Is the spiritual world, then Brahman, and from Brahman comes the material world. So since the material world is expanding from Brahman, they think that that's the end of all, because they only have materialistic intelligence.
Yes.
Right? So even their connection with Brahman is only its connection with the material world. Right? They're not seeing the connection of Brahman with Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, therefore, then they think that the personality is created by man. Right? You deal with many intellectuals and you say about Krishna and the person and give so much detail. You say, man has made that up. Right? I'm not even sure. Isn't that Marx says like that? Isn't that just... It's some one of those Wallace things. Is that all these things is just subjectively what people want or what they want to see in a supreme, then they put it together that way.
Religion is opium for the masses.
There's that, but I'm saying that there's that statement that they make, that man makes it up. There's even a fancy term for that.
Nietzsche's...
Man created God according to his...
Yes.
That's anthropomorphism.
Yeah, anthropomorphism. Is that we create how we like. So they'll say it's like that, but no, there's an absolute truth. Otherwise, why, if we have a reflection, it means that if you see this and you're not getting any satisfaction, why not? Because it's not real. You can't get satisfaction from the tree in the water, but the tree on the land, you can. So everyone thinks there'll be happiness, thinks there'll be eternal life, thinks there'll be all these things. Why? Because that's the natural position. So that means this must be a reflection.
Yes.
Okay. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent, right? Because they can't see through nature. Right? Because you're looking, trying to look at transcendence through material energy. You can't do that. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows. O Skyana Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities, arisen from desire and hate. Bhagavad Gita 24-27. The self-centered impersonalist, without a clear conception of the personality of Godhead, concludes in his own way that the personality of Godhead takes a material shape from his original impersonal spiritual existence for a particular mission. But then if there's a particular mission, that means then there must be a mind to make a decision of a particular mission.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And how can something happen unless there is something for it to be based on? Right? So there must be, therefore, energy and energetics. So they're trying to explain it only makes their philosophy weaker.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And this misleading conception of the Supreme Lord by the self-centered impersonalist continues, even though he is seen to be very interested in the Vedic literature, such as the Brahma Sutras and other highly intellectual sources of knowledge. So you can deal with the intelligence can be based on a very sophisticated platform, but your application of it can still be gross.
Yes.
Right? Or you can deal very simply with something very elevated.
Is that due to the false ego?
Yes. This ignorance of the personal feature of the Lord is due simply to ignorance of the mixture of different modes. The impersonalist thus cannot conceive of the Lord's eternal spiritual form of eternal knowledge, bliss, and existence. The reason is that the Lord reserves the right of not exposing himself to the non-devotee who, even after a thorough study of literature like the Bhagavad Gita, remains an impersonalist simply by obstinacy. Because otherwise the verses come up would explain his personal feature. But then they stick to it. No, it's got to be this one.
Yeah.
Because it's their identity. So that's the problem. As soon as anything material becomes the identity, then it becomes a problem. When it's not an identity, it's just you're using it in the Lord's service, then that's not the problem. Of course, the material world means problem, but it's not an overwhelming annoyance. Right?
Mm-hmm. So when we contact devotional service and devotees, then we immediately understand that this is our real identity.
Yes, yes.
But then the doubt comes, and then we don't know. We're not sure, maybe this, maybe that.
Yes.
So why is it happening?
That's just due to, the ignorance that's there, is that we understand in one area, but then when we go to practically apply it, we see, the greatness of that application. So we might have doubts in some area. Does that make sense? We'll say everything's material, all sound, vibration, everything's like that. We're right. And then we get home and then we look at our various, tunes on our iPod. Well, no, these must be spiritual. So then these come up like this. Or, our yoga, doing yoga, that's spiritual, Lord. So you get doubts according to your attachment, what you feel is superior. Helping other people, that must be spiritual. Because most of the time when they go above but for the materialist, unless they're following the Vedas, they only see two platforms, material and spiritual. So the platform of the mind, they call spiritual. And most dealing with the platform of the mind, they're not dealing with the higher elements, they're dealing with the antariksha. Right? They don't actually deal with the swarga and the demigods and that, they deal with what's in between. And so they'll call that spiritual. Any experience I get, nature is so beautiful, it's spiritual. Or, seeing all the kids happy and playing, it's spiritual. So anything that's subtle is called spiritual, because there's nothing in between. They don't have gross, subtle, and spiritual like in the Vedic. They just have gross and spiritual. So it's just a matter of that's why association is so important, studying and associating, because then that doubt then can be addressed. And then one goes back and then applies it, and some areas will clear very easily, you know, where there's not much basically where there's no identity. Where there's identity, that's where they'll be a little bit, it'll be a little slower. Right? And then sometimes it's there, but you know, you can adjust with it. You understand it. But if there's attachment to that identity, that will give misgivings. So those are harder. So that obstinacy that Papa mentions here, that's misgiving. Mm-hmm. So that's why the impersonalist can't switch. If it was a doubt, you know, like Prakashananda Saraswati or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that you can clear it. But the ones that don't, no matter what, that's obstinate, that's misgiving. Because they identify with it. So it's a mundane, you know, how you say, position. So, yes.
So we don't preach to this kind of people.
No,
this is offense.
It's offense, and basically it's a waste of time, considering that since we only have a short amount of time, you get the maximum done. You know, it's just like, let us say, I have a big pile of, let's say, chickpeas sitting in the middle of the floor. Okay? And on the other side of the room, then there's sacks full of chickpeas. Okay? Mm-hmm. But they're all closed. So all there is closed sacks of chickpeas and this big, huge pile of chickpeas. Okay? And now, outside this room, then there's going to be a huge festival, and they've decided that they're going to make hummus for everybody. Right? Thousands of people. Okay. Now, somehow or another has come up. You got 5 minutes to get all the chickpeas required outside that room to be made into hummus. So are you going to pick up the sacks, or are you going to go for the pile?
I'm going to pick up the sacks.
Right. So it's just a matter of time. You understand? So, it may be that the pile is bigger than the sacks. But it's not how much you can pick up handfuls, because there is nothing else. You know, unless you open one of the sacks, dump out the chickpeas, go over to the pile and fill it up with it. You know, so that would be a bit stupid. Right? So, the thing is where the it's not a matter of the mode of passion where you're not willing to take trouble, because preaching where there is results is still going to be trouble. But the point is you're getting results for the endeavor. Because it should be that for the effort put in, there's at least an equal result, or some result. Right? There has to be some result. So, therefore, wherever area one finds one can preach and get good results, that's the area to work in. So for different devotees, it may be different. Certain things are common. Harinam, all these different, like this, these are common because so many people get benefited. Like that. You go down the street, it's all the people there, all the animals there, all the bacteria, everybody gets benefited.
Yes.
You know, it's just, imagine how much Agyata Sukriti all that bacteria is getting, right? You know, if you come out of Harinam every day, I'm not sure how long the bacteria lasts, but you might get a few Harinams in, you know. So, like that.
Would they take birth as devotees?
They get human. Devotee means it's devotional service. You take birth as a devotee if you're doing devotional service. If you're doing a Agyata Sukriti, you take birth as human.
That's why there's 7 billion people now.
7 billion people. Meaning you're saying if we did more Harinam, there'd be more people?
I'm just saying, we started 40 years ago doing Harinams, and the population of the planet has grown exponentially.
Could be. But this is not a lot of people.
No.
Right. You know, you're talking about, you know, what goes on in the Vedic literature. You're talking about a tad bit more.
We'll see in a couple of years.
Okay. Okay. This obstinacy is due to the action of Yoga Maya, a personal energy of the Lord that acts like an aide-de-camp by covering the vision of the obstinate impersonalist. The cause of such gross ignorance is constant engagement by the materialistic man in the matter of artificially increasing material demands. Because gross ignorance, because you're dealing with more gross, you deal with more subtle, it's more subtle. Like, it's just like, let's say, a psychoanalyst. Okay? One of the first symptoms of the psychoanalyst is what he looks like. No? Huh? Yeah, it means you know, they're a little disheveled and stuff like that, because they're so in their head and thinking. You go to the house, there's not much there, there's not much, you know, just, you understand? So, because they're engaged on the subtle platform. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just wherever they engage with someone's successor on the material plan, they're looking at that. They're not looking at the subtle. So the point is, as you increase the material demands, you increase the gross involvement. To realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to purify the materialistic senses by devotional service. The mode of goodness, or the Brahminical culture recommended in the Vedic literatures, is helpful to such spiritual realization. And thus, the Jnana Shakti stage of the conditioned soul is comparatively better than the other two stages, namely Dravya Shakti and Kriya Shakti. Right? The West is based on Dravya Shakti and Kriya Shakti.
Yes.
Right? And basically, those who are good at the Kriya Shakti get everybody else to buy Dravya Shakti.
Yes.
Right? So because most people are absorbed, in other words, you put the focus on Dravya Shakti, and then those who know what's going on with the Kriya Shakti make money. But there's no technically Jnana Shakti. Right? So it's used, but it's not really. So here we see motive, goodness, Brahminical culture. Probably they're synonymous. So to oppose Brahminical culture means to oppose the motive, goodness. Means to cultivate passion and ignorance. Not saying, no, we're devotional, we're beyond.
Yes.
But if we're beyond, then we would, yeah, we would deal on the bodily platform. Okay. Yes.
Is the Dravya Kriya and the Jnana Shakti just another word for the three modes?
Yes. That's the Shaktis that they work under. The mode of goodness is the Jnana Shakti. The mode of passion is the Kriya Shakti. The mode of ignorance is the Dravya Shakti. Okay. Yes?
So the three modes.
Yes. No. False ego, this means, this is not meaning the material element of false ego. Means, of course, that's involved, but it means the false ego that I'm the controller and enjoyer. So that's the false ego that then generates these other three, that generates the modes of nature.
Is this a collective false ego?
No, no, no. That's coming from I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's before you start. The pump guy. Excuse me, not the pump guy. Which guy were you talking about? Not the cable guy, right?
The guy?
Yeah.
There was a guy.
Yes.
I'm not sure that guy.
Yeah. Could you repeat that again?
Okay,
yes. So you have the polluted consciousness. That's false ego. I'm not the controller and enjoyer. It's just polluted consciousness. But there's no material manifestation. So that principle of that consciousness, which is Shiva, that transforms into the modes of nature. You understand? Then you get that kind of false ego and goodness, that kind of false ego and passion, that kind of false ego and ignorance.
Which of these?
Right? So that's what we function under. So there's actually four kinds of false ego. The original, and then these three that from the modes of nature. Right? So that's body, mind, and words. Right? So the false ego that we call the element false ego, that's what identifies you with Dravya Shakti. Right? Because you identify with your facilities.
Yeah.
Right? You live in this part of town, you're, you know, somebody from that part of town. You drive this car, you wear this suit, you work in this kind of job, you go to this club. These are all dravya. So that's your false identity. Right? Then the mind is going to be then the kriya is going to be how you use the intelligence and senses to accomplish that dravya. Right? And then the jnana is the knowledge by which that's done. So that's the mind, because the mind will accept and reject, you know, what it should do. So it picks the right ones, you're successful. It picks the wrong ones, you're a loser. So does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The whole material civilization is manifested by a huge accumulation of materials. Or in other words, raw materials for industrial purposes. And the industrial enterprises, Kriya Shakti, right? So the Dravya Shakti is the accumulation of materials, raw materials for industrial purposes. That's the Dravya. Then the enterprise, that's the Kriya Shakti, are all due to gross ignorance of spiritual life. Because right? It's based on false ego. So it's all ignorance. So basically we're talking about ignorance within ignorance.
Yes.
Right? Like that. The, it means you always have these three divisions. So within ignorance, basically, you have these three divisions.
Yes.
Right.
So, can we take it a step further?
Step further and
ignorance in ignorance and ignorance.
You just keep going. Right. You always have a proportion. These overall ignorance within that, there's goodness, passion, ignorance. Mm. And each one is mixed, so then each one has the other. So that's why you get 8,400,000. Oh, I think I figured out the 8,400,000 formula. Because it's not just the three, because whenever you do it, the first one you get 9, but the next one, when you combine it, you always get that you get ones that are the same. So every time you do it, you add that much, but you have to drop off so many. You understand?
Yes.
So in other words, calculate it by the thing, then you'll see, and then I think it only adds 10 each time you multiply.
Yes.
And so you just keep doing that until you get that many. See how because there's going to be, why isn't that working? Because yeah, you go from 4 to 14, and I was thinking, wait a minute.
I've been thinking about this for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just you sit down and you go, drops off. Because only the first one you get everything, but the next one, you always have the same thing. You know, so, okay. That makes sense? Okay. In order to rectify this great anomaly of materialistic civilization based on the principles of Dravya Shakti and Kriya Shakti, right? That's why Prabhupada says the mantra is passion and ignorance, because that's all people are interested in.
Yes.
One has to adopt the process of devotional service of the Lord by adoption of the principles of Karma Yoga mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 9:27 as follows. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer, and all that you give away, as well as all your austerities you may perform, should be done as an offering to me. So therefore, you're taking your dravya and kriya, shaktis, and engaging in the Lord's service. Right? Now that, doing that, now that's jnana shakti, but now on its proper, pure platform. Right? So it's actual jnana, rather than just the material jnana. Like, so it's pure goodness instead of goodness.
Yes.
But wouldn't this be mixed devotional service?
No, because it means, even if it is, it's devotional service. It's better than...
Progressive.
Yeah, see, because materialism, no matter how nice, is not progressive. But devotional service, even if it has the material element, is still progressive. But it's just a matter of how quickly that progress will be. If you are attached to that mix, then it will slow it down. If you're just engaging it and slowly, slowly moving through, then it will be very quick. Is that so? Do we? How do you say? The. I guess it would. I mean, just for lack of definition, but. The metaphysical element, that's always the confusing one. If we talk about the spiritual world, everybody's happy. If we talk about the material world, everyone's happy. If we talk about the connection between how one transforms to one the other, that's where the confusion comes. Yes.
Because it's very difficult actually to understand how we ourselves, so we preach to the people from passion and ignorance and bring them to the transcendence. Yeah. Where is the gap? What fills the gap?
Yeah. Well, it's that you're using pure goodness instead of goodness. And that has the power to drag them from the ignorance and passion. Goodness will, but the problem is then you have to have character.
Yeah.
So the problem is then if you don't have character, you can't function in goodness. To function in goodness, you have to have character. How is that going to work? So it's going to be very slow. That's why it takes hundreds of thousands of years, I mean lifetimes, to transform from one position to another. You know, from a karmi to a jnani to a yogi, like this, it takes a long time.
Yeah.
But devotional service is powerful. It's actually the origin of all these other shaktis. These are just, as we see, fractions of portions of the shakti. So then devotional service, now that's the original shakti. So it has that power, it can purify and bring one above those. So by using the dravya and kriya shaktis, but the jnana shakti is used according to devotional service, or the proper understanding, under the chit potency. That chit potency then will bring one up to that platform of pure goodness, but cultivate goodness at the same time. So then it becomes easier to function because then the quality of your dravya and kriya has been improved. Right? Because then your jnana shakti that you're working with on the material platform will be of a better quality. Does that make sense? Let us say I'm working. There's ignorance. There's passion. There's goodness. But now goodness means it's not pure goodness. So it's mixed with passion and ignorance. So there can be a lot of passion and ignorance within that goodness. But now by performing pure goodness, I purify that, and now it's predominantly goodness. Right? So now it'll be easier to work with the dravya and the kriya shaktis. Right? Because now my view is more goodness, so I will look at them, what I want, and how I'll get it from a better platform. Right? So you improve the quality of the character. And so it makes it just that much easier to not be distracted. Right? It's just like someone that's on a platform of goodness is not attracted by elements of passion and ignorance. You know what I'm saying? You know, you go into the wrong part of town, some people feel very comfortable there. Right? Other people don't feel comfortable there. Why? Because the modes are different. So when you create goodness, then they only want to function in an environment of goodness. So cleanliness, regulation, respect, knowledge, you know, sense of duty, performance of duty. Does that make sense? So that just makes it easier to engage in the devotional activities, since devotional service is based on engaging these activities of goodness in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So even we're engaging the dravya and kriya may not be of a good quality, but since the quality of jnana shakti is better, therefore it can be engaged. It's not that the quality of it changes, the effect of it changes. Right? Does this make sense? If I'm using, let's say, some modern element in the Lord's service, the quality of it as a dravya is still the same. It's still, you know, third class. It's not that because I'm using it in Krishna service, it technically becomes first class. The effect is first class because it is devotional service. So the soul gets the effect of the proper activity. Right? So therefore, it's about the pure devotional service that is the appropriate thing. So that aspect, then that replaces this material jnana shakti with the spiritual. So that means then the kriya is spiritual, and then the dravya becomes spiritual. Does that make sense? So it becomes spiritualized. but it's it still has the same. Yeah, I mean, what it can do is still the same. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not that you adjust that. It's just that you properly placed it. The kid is down there on the block. He's playing. He's very physical. You know, somebody does something he doesn't like. He gets into fights. You know, like that. It's a problem. Right? The police have their eye. But now let's say he joins the army. He can engage this. And now he's doing something beneficial. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But unless he improves the quality, then he's going to be fighting with the other guys in the barracks and, you know, stuff like that. And when, you know, when they don't like the sergeant's in the front, they're all sitting behind in that, then they'll shoot the sergeant. And then they'll say that it was, you know, hey, the enemy, you know, whatever it is. You know, so, yeah, right? You know, so all these things, they still it'll go on, but there's still, it's a better engagement. More can get done. But it's still not ideal. It's still better he has proper character, better he learns how to control his anger, better he... Does that make sense? So this idea is that inferior dravya and inferior kriya is perfectly fine as a, you know, universal principle of application than is dealing with an inferior quality of jnana shakti. Because the thing is, no, you start from wherever you are, but as you become purified, naturally, as you become situated in goodness, you are going to be attracted to those things in goodness, to engage in the Lord's service. Right? That's what we call the kids. They you know, they play in the mud, this and that. When they grow up, they don't play in the mud. Well, it depends, but... You know what I'm saying? But as a general thing, it's not that they'll be walking by the park and then go and sit down there and get out there, you know, open their briefcase, you know, their Halliburton briefcase and pull out one of those little sand shovels and start digging, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's not going to happen. Right? So that means you expect that. So naturally you would expect that to grow up. Otherwise, if you're saying, no, it's fine like this, we can remain like this, then that's childish. It's immature. You know, the Vedas will use the term immature. Right? So the thing is yes, we start with that, and you engage it. And you may be engaging it a long time, because that's the position one's in, the realization. So it doesn't matter. There's no time frame. It's not like, no, if you haven't, you know, 6 months, 3 days, and 5 hours, if you haven't gotten over this, then you're in Maya. No, it doesn't matter. Some may get through that very quickly, some may be slowly, it doesn't matter at all. So one may spend one's whole life, it doesn't matter. But one's not identifying with it, that this is me.
Is this a Natanavriti?
Yes. So that makes the difference between Madhyama means you've crossed the maximum percentage of a Natanavriti. So the problem is with 75%.
Yes.
You know, so 25% will be there. But the point is if you are attached to those that 25%, then you're not going to get to bhava. You know, you're not going to get to ruchi, actually, because ruchi means you have to give up that balance.
Isn't it that it will be more and more difficult to be attached as the percentage goes down?
Of course.
I mean, 25%.
Of course.
Will be
so
difficult.
Unless you're taking this identity and hold on to it because of identity.
Yeah.
That's what the impersonalist does.
Yeah.
So that's why it's considered obstinate.
Yeah.
So then yoga maya will cover, and therefore you can't understand the shastra. So one's saying, oh, the shastra doesn't matter, it's all this or that, or, you know, whatever fancy ways you want to present that, I don't have to follow this. Why? Because I'm attached to certain dravya and certain kriya and certain jnana, which are the modes of nature.
Yes.
I'm not willing to add devotional service to these areas. Yes, I will chant on the five direct activities I like on my own terms, right? But everything outside of that, you know, hey, that's fine. You know, that's called a congregational devotee, right? That's what the congregation is for, so you can be in that situation. But the natural thing is one will progress, one will get more involved. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? The devotee, he lives at home. He has his family, he has his business or job or that, but he's regularly at the temple, he's doing things, he's taking part in things, festivals, he's there. Do you generally think of him as a congregational devotee? Not really. He's just part of the temple scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand? But the one who, you know, now and again you see them, they show up with the family and they come in and the kids cry and they take the kids out and then you don't see them until Prashad, and then, you know, you only see some of them, and you know that's that you would definitely say. So the point is maintaining that this is far, because even that congregational devotee knows that it's not great, but what can he do? Mm-hmm. So what's the position of someone who says, no, I'm fine, leave me alone?
Worse.
That's worse.
Is there the risk that they will go backwards because of this obstinacy?
As long as it's not offense to the Vaishnavas, then no. It means you may regress in your practice, but your devotional development will not be lost. So as soon as that commitment and faith is there, one will be functioning at the position that one was at before.
How about philosophical deviation to accommodate one's emotions?
That's... because that's just like, it means you have sensual deviation and philosophical. Philosophical is worse.
Yeah.
In the Western society, because you don't really have philosophical, therefore they don't consider it.
No.
But it's actually worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? The same persons who will profess philosophical deviations and say they're okay or something to consider will be totally intolerant moralistic deviations.
Yes.
You know, that just proves their lower position. They don't understand devotional service, really. It means, of course, there's some.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not a very developed...
Not to the level they're professing.
No, not to the level they're professing. No. That's why it's that... Yeah. Yes.
When we stop devotional service, means Dravya and Kriya are increasing.
Yes, that'll be there, and our jnana is more materialistic, like that. It just means the modes of nature increase, so devotional service goes down. As devotional service increases, doesn't mean that we don't engage. Just like you take a very active person on the material platform, you convince him about Krishna consciousness, he'll be just as active in Krishna consciousness, like that. So it's not that action will change, but if an active person starts to decrease, then that's the modes of nature. Right? And if someone was ignorant and didn't do much, when they join, they also not do much. But as they get purified, naturally, as the mode of goodness and that comes up, they'll become more active. Yes, it always happens. From the darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely the sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seen. Seer and the seen are because there's sight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? So the seer and the seen have a relationship because of sight.
Yes.
Right? So then sound is the element from there, and then therefore space, and then whatever's connected with the space will be because of that.
Okay.
In his purport to verse 25, Srila Prabhupada remarks about the false ego. The five elements, namely sky, air, fire, water, and earth, are all but different qualities of the darkness of false ego. Right? So here's bringing out that everything's actually false ego. So what we're dealing with in the material world is basically 24 different elements of false ego. Right? But each one has its uniqueness, its visesha, right? You know, its specialness. So, one never knew goodness could be so good. I mean, ignorant, I say, false ego could be so good, right?
So rich.
Yeah, rich in so much. This means that the false ego, in the sum total form of Mahatattva, is generated from the marginal potency of the Lord. And due to this false ego of lording it over the material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living being. Right? So, when you add that false ego to Pradhan, then you get the Mahatattva. And so the whole thing is based on that ignorance. The Pradhan expands as these 24 elements because of false ego. If there's no false ego, it just remains as Brahman. Mm-hmm. But when you add false ego, then it expands. So that means everything is, it's, so you could overall say there is false ego with false ego with intelligence, false ego with mind, false ego with ether, false ego with, like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the whole thing. It's all just varieties of false ego, right? And then those go, you know, in other words, these are the gross ones, they go back to the subtler, right? Yeah.
Says it's created from marginal potency.
Marginal potency, yes. But the point is who's the one that thinks they're the controller and enjoyer and aren't? It means Krishna, is he the controller and enjoyer?
Yes.
It wasn't a trick question. So, if he thinks I'm the controller and enjoyer, is there any false ego?
No.
Okay.
In our case.
No, yeah, it's only in our case. Shiva also, not a problem. He is controller and enjoyer. Right? But the jivas? No. So, therefore, this is generated from the marginal potency of the Lord. It's when you add the jivas who have that false ego. Right? Shiva's the Lord of it. He manages it. But it's still, the marginal potency is the generated by that. Otherwise, Pradhan is there. It's always been there. Why will it go into Mahatattva unless you add jivas?
Actually, it says that Mahatattva is from marginal potency.
Yeah, but what is Mahatattva?
Yeah,
no, but what is Mahatattva?
Some total of potency.
No, it's Mahatattva is the false ego, the living entities, and Pradhan. And time. So you're getting that, but the Lord is adding into these things. Otherwise, how do you apply your false ego unless there's time? Right? How do you apply? What are you going to apply your false ego on unless there's the external energy? Because you're not going to get the internal potency to play with. You know what I'm saying? That does the mom let the kid play with her diamonds and pearls? No. Sometimes.
Under supervision.
Anyone else?
No.
No? No. Okay. So do you have many diamonds and pearls? No. That's because you let your kids play with them. Those who have, don't let them play. Okay? Does that make sense? Right? So, therefore, the point is the living entity doesn't get the spiritual world to play with in this false consciousness. They get the material world. Does that make sense? Yes? No? You're attached to the word created.
No. I'm thinking, so when Maya Devishi is the form of material energy.
Yes.
So how it correlates with that Mahatattva is some total.
Why is there a crib? Why is there a crib?
To soothe the baby.
Right. Who arranges the crib?
The mother.
Okay. But why is there a crib? Because there's a baby.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, so therefore, the material energy is created because the jivas need a place to play. And so the material energy, as the mother, as Yoni, then creates the facilities.
It is to sink.
Okay. Something else was there? Someone else had a hand? No?
No, it's a big playground.
It's a big playground, yes.
Lots of toys.
But there's lots of toys, but there's not necessarily nice kids on the playground. Yeah, and they got the and somehow or another, against all local, how you say, codes for children, the Tower of Terror is also there. Playground. Yes.
So you see that, I think, on this principle of creation. So the false ego is, we see that negative doesn't exist independent of the positive, it's just the absence of the positive. So the false ego is just the absence of the positive identity of the servant of Krishna.
Yes.
So then would it be right in saying is that all we're doing is desiring that separatist mentality, and then the Lord takes care of everything else. So factually, it's just the desire that's generating that need, and then the Lord fulfills that need. So we're actually not principally creating.
No, no, we don't create. It's just said create because the living entity has the need.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, just, it's just desire. Like, why is there a police force? Because the community needs it. Right? If people were nice and nobody stole anything, would there be a police force? No.
Yeah, I heard that when they generate a plan for a new town, they automatically ought to generate the space for the jail.
Yes. Yeah. But it's not that the town doesn't require a jail, but the citizens require a jail. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
How important is it to try to apply this knowledge, like in our daily life, now I'm identifying with the Radha Shakti, or now I identify with the
It's just as it works. It's just a matter of these are tools to use when useful. The primary thing is just think of how to do things nicely for Krishna. In areas that has a problem, that's where you then deal. Then in those areas, then you apply it. It's just like, how important in your daily life is a screwdriver? You understand? When everything stays on the wall, you don't need it. When things are falling off the wall, it's very useful. Does that make sense? So like that. So these are all the various tools so you see how the material world works. Otherwise, we have another idea how it works. You know what I'm saying? Right? You know, like Prabhupada said, we could just sit down under a tree here in Mayapur. That's all that's required. As the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that's all the acharyas did. And they chant. That's all that's necessary. But they have buildings because the Westerners, you know, aren't comfortable sitting under trees. Right? You know, unless they're, you know, with a girlfriend or something. But other than that, then they're not going to spend much time under the tree. Right? So you make the buildings, you make the bathrooms, you make all these different things. So it's just in consideration of the conditioning. Now if you say, no, we're Westerners, we have to have this, that's ignorance. That's illusion. That's false ego. The other one is just addressing that these things come up, so therefore it's useful. So one is you're just, okay, this facility makes things go smooth. The other is, no, this has to be there because, you know, we need this. But who's this we? Because the conditioning, it's like, who cares for the conditioning? You have to deal with it, but it's the soul that's important. Does that make sense? So that's where it comes in. Is as soon as the false ego comes up, then you're dealing with these forms of it. There's no false ego, you don't have to deal with it much. It's very minimal. But as soon as there's false ego, false identity, then immediately you have to have these, because the false identity creates the three modes, which creates everything else. It's automatic. Does that make sense? You know, it's just, that's the way it goes. It's not that, no, I'll have one without the other. I'll have the baby with no diapers.
Try it.
Yeah, they go together. You know what I'm saying? So this idea is that, no, I will have my cake and eat it. Right? It's not going to work. It's either there or you eat it. You're not going to have both. Yeah, and then the flavor goes. And then, you know, at some point your mom's going to notice the backside of the bedpost. No? Yeah.
Yes. Then the mode is generated from there. So
yes.
Mahat is not material, actually. What is?
Mahat is the combination. It's technically Mahats and Vasudev Sattva because it's just the Lord's potencies. We're the one that's in illusion. But it's produced from all these elements of false ego, the element. But it's not that the element itself is in illusion. You know what I'm saying? It's not like sky is in illusion or something. You know, so this rock is not in illusion. It's just a rock. You know what I'm saying? We're the one that becomes affected by it. That's why we come under the control of the external energy. While the great sages and that, they don't. Because they just know it for what it is. Does that make sense?
So then pradhan would be pure manifestation of the external energy, is that correct?
Yeah, that's the primary creation, you could say. Then there's the gross manifestation, the cosmic manifestation. It's all ultimately part of mahatattva. Because then all these things go on. But mahatattva means where this false ego is therefore manifest.
Right.
Right. So it's that primary element that is there. So that potency, as I mentioned, it's a potency, but it's a potency in the negative. You know, the lack of the positive, it has a negative. It's one of the elements of logic. You can understand something's there by its lack of it, a lack of being there. You know? So the lack of light, that's darkness. So when there's really a lack of light, then it's really dark. So instead of saying, wow, it's so dark here, we should say, wow, it's just really not light here. Okay. Then you also have the marginal potency of the Lord is not necessarily the jivas themselves. It's the potency by which spiritual and material can be put together at the same place.
Yeah, this was bugging.
Means you have that, but the point does the marginal potency itself require this? No, it's the jivas that require it.
Yeah, that's clear.
Okay. That's where they're from.
What I mean is that
there is no difference, but there's a difference. There's the internal potency. Let's say Mother Jashoda, she is a portion of the internal potency, but it's not that she is internal potency. So the jiva is a portion of the marginal potency, but it's not that the jiva is the marginal potency. Like that. Right, so you have the internal, the external, and the marginal. These are all the elements of Brahman. Then you have the specifics, you know, the manifestation. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you were saying that for...
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, you catch that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's why God made doctors, right, to work things out. Yeah. Yes. Okay. And due to this false ego of lording it over the material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living being. The living being is practically the dominating factor over the material elements as the enjoyer, though the background is the Supreme Lord. Right? So it practically means it's the living entities. But it's actually the Lord's potencies that make it all work. Thus, interacting with the three modes of Prakriti, false ego transforms into one, the Dravya Shakti, which gross sense objects evolve, from which, yeah. Two, the Kriya Shakti, from which the bodily senses and the creative abilities evolve. Three, the Jnana Shakti, from which material knowledge evolves. Of these, Jnana Shakti is the best, because it manifests as the Brahminical culture and is helpful for spiritual realization. Just as the three Shaktis appear out of the transforming effect of Ahankara upon the modes of Prakriti, so in the same manner, creation continues to expand as the ignorance of the Jiva interacts with Maya's modes. Quote, the mind evolves from the effect of false ego upon Sattva Guna. Along with the mind, 10 demigods make their appearance. These 10 govern the movements of the Jnanindriyas, perceptive senses, and Karmindriyas, active senses. The Karmindriyas, Jnanindriyas, intelligence, and life force, prana, are transformations of passion. Right, so there's the demigods that control it. Then there's the senses themselves. Right? So then the senses... What is it? The senses, Karmendriyas, Jnanendriyas, intelligence, and the life force. So that's why we're saying the senses are connected with intelligence. So of intelligence, then that's why we say body, mind, words. So what words indicate the senses and the intelligence, right? But of all these, we can tell by, you know, it's not that you see someone's foot, you can tell, you know, how much intelligence is there. But you can tell by their words. Right? So if a fool doesn't speak, he could do well.
Yes. Exactly.
But as soon as he speaks, then there's a problem. The elements, ether, air, fire, water, and earth, appear from the interaction of egoism with the mode of ignorance. Out of this interaction, sound first appears. Sound's gross form is ether. And as sound moves through ether, the sense of hearing, the ear, comes to be. Right, so you have the sound, the ether, and the ear. Right, so that's all the because the ear is interacting with the ether based on and the point of relationship is sound. Right, that's what the Upanishads will talk about. Is that they'll talk about there's the upper, there's the lower element aspect of it. In other words, the primary and the secondary, and then what connects them.
Yes.
So you're going to get sound. You're going to have the ether, and you have the ear. So the ether and the ear are connected by sound. Yes. Does that make sense?
No, that was what we used to call major, minor terms.
Yes, major, minor terms. It's all connected. Yes, okay.
He's saying that Jnana Shakti is best because when it comes to Dominical culture.
Yes.
If I reject Dominical culture, I am in Jnana mode. What am I left with?
Modern academics. Otherwise, where else are you going to find some intelligence?
Which mode is demoniac?
Which mode is demoniac? No mode is demoniac. It's how you use a mode that's demoniac. Is this rock demoniac? Demon rock. Yeah. No, it's how you use them. Because it's the mentality. When the idea is to, it's more about yourself and enjoying, it's more demoniac. When it's more about serving and selflessness, then it's more divine. Because I'm saying that because even the universal demons follow the Vedic culture because they're smart enough to know that's the only way to get anything out of the material energy. Right? So then you have less intelligent demons than that that try to get something out of material energy by not using the Vedic culture. So in other words, you're already dealing with very low-grade intelligence here. Does that make sense?
So in that connection, goodness has a more potential for demoniac nature than ignorance.
No, ignorance also. You get plenty of demons. You know, it's like I think it was Ramachandra bumped into that one demon who his mouth was in the middle of his chest. And he just has huge long arms, so all he does is grab things and then, you know, hugs them. Yeah. You know, so there's probably not a lot of, you know, intelligence going on here. You know what I'm saying? So these things, it's a matter of consciousness, is divine or demoniac. So we're not saying that it's not there, but we're looking at the Lord's energies are special. They're wonderful. So anything that's there, it's not that you can say that the academic is really intelligent. They may be, but whose intelligence is it? Who planned it? Who worked it out? You know, it's the Lord's potency. Because if it was under their control, why can't they figure out everything they want to figure out? You know, people have been sitting there putting in millions and doing big things and this and that, and a bunch of kids in a garage come up with a better idea. So how does that work? So in other words, they're not in control of the intelligence. They use it, and then by according to their karma, they get results. So it's not that, because it's a wonderful thing, it's not that there's still not a lot of specialness there in the intelligence of, you know, misguided, you know, how you say, intellectual thought. It's still special. Why? Because knowledge is Krishna's potency. It's his opulence, not because it's ours. So it's not special because the academic has it. It's because it's special because it's the Lord's. So now there's better ways to get it to work and function. You create a mood of goodness. Now, look at it. Now, those who are successful in the intellectual field, very successful, then generally they get so successful that they become socially not functioning, right? And so then we have this endearing term called nerds, right? Okay, now, do nerds like... Now, they may live a non-recommended lifestyle, but is that lifestyle regular? It's very exactly regular. You take one thing on their shelf and put it on another shelf, they have a meltdown. So now, what does this mean? For their intelligence to work, there must be that sense of order. Sense of order comes from goodness. So all it is they worked out their own order. But it's not as efficient as the Vedic sense of order. Because the Vedic sense of order, you can have that goodness and order and still have the social system. Because everybody has the same order. Therefore, in the Vedic culture, everybody could be a nerd, and at the same time, everybody can socially interact. It's such a superior system.
That's a miracle.
Yeah, it is. Whatever it is that is seen as a fault in any aspect of the modern culture isn't a fault in the Vedic. Like that. It knows how to perfectly combine everything. So everybody is able to interact and be able to deal because of this, because it's centered on the mode of goodness. And the mode of goodness, the mind's at its best, therefore the intellect is at its best, therefore you can analyze and deal with things at your best. And if you do that, you get the best results. So that's all it is the Brahminical culture is how to get the best results. Now, of best results, the best result is God consciousness. So this idea is that this is old and archaic simply means that we're too degraded to understand how it works. Right? And understand, in other words, Neanderthal can't figure out how to make the, you know, the smartphone work. So in his mind, it's useless. Right? Because it was something from a previous generation. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, because if you continue the way you're going now, eventually everybody will be back out there, you know, living in caves. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, that's the whole point, is that then you think it's archaic, but they don't actually understand it. It's not that I understand it and we have something better, it's that they can't understand it. It's not that, oh, I understand how this works and what exactly it does. You don't have that. It's that they just are opposed to it. Why? Because it goes against their ideal of mental speculation. You know, self-centered mental speculation. It's very simple. Very blunt. you know, very ungenerous, you know, granted, but facts are facts. And then from there, working with that, then you try to do something positive with it. So it's not a problem to engage that intelligence in the Lord's service, but you have to be willing to. You have to know how to. It's not just because you have a brain, you therefore know everything. You know, that's the thing. You know, it's that the kid goes to school, learns ABC, comes home, they think they're a scholar. So because they've observed a little material energy, now they're the scholars. How does this work?
Doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. Because if it did, why aren't things going great in the world? Why is it you open the newspaper, all you're reading about is, you know, fresh disasters? Yeah. You know, that's it. There is anything nice, it's very rare. You can't put much nice in there. Yeah. Otherwise people won't buy your newspaper. Right? Yes.
So is it right to say that at the beginning you work within your sphere of understanding before opening up something else, or do you work in a sphere where you don't know? Because maybe in your sphere.
No, you work in wherever the area that is in line with your conditioning, but you change your perspective of it. You only have to change the consciousness, not the sphere. That's the point. Is since everything in this creation has come from the Lord and is functioning based on the Lord's potency, there's no need to change the situation. Only change the consciousness. So when we make these comments about persons who will take this position and say, see, we don't need to change the position. Yes, we perfectly agree, but you do have to change the consciousness. But to say, no, we don't have to change the position because we have this consciousness and we want to keep that consciousness, then that's bogus. You know what I'm saying? The principle of Yukta Vairagya is that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is way ahead of any of these persons who are claiming to be, you know, into Yukta Vairagya and just using the West and this and that. He had caterers who came and catered non-vegetarian meal to a bunch of, you know, British, whatever it was, high-level people that he was preaching to. So he just sits there and discusses philosophy. And they sit there and eat whatever that nonsense is on the table and very happily listen. There is not one person who is saying, we should, you know, we're Westerners, we can stay the way they were, that could do that. Not one. They don't have the capacity. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out to one devotee, when they said, oh, but we can't do that. He says, yes, I thought like that 10,000 lifetimes ago. Yes, I did think like that. So the thing of what Yukta Vairagya can do is so far beyond. So far beyond. But that's being done without any attachment to it. But we don't bring this side out because you don't. You know, in other words, what's rule number one if you're dealing with somebody from AA? You don't bring out any alcohol. What about a diabetic? Do you talk about taking sweets? But you say, oh no, just take a little bit. Do you do that? Mm-hmm. It's just against the rules. That's why we don't bring these things up. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it really doesn't matter. You know, it's not that if there's something else, because every place on the planet you can get vegetarian food. So why would we do anything else since that's what Krishna prefers? But if you're going to go out and preach to the Eskimos, if there's nothing else to eat, yes, you'll be eating seal blubber. But I don't see anybody out there. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is, therefore we don't do it. Why? Because it would take a particular level of advancement, but at the same time there's no need. If there's no need, why get into it? Then it becomes a whole trip. Yeah, we could. You know, it's a whole playing. In other words, you play with it. In other words, what's dangerous for you, I like to play with, but that's a demoniac quality. To play with something and not get that, that's a demoniac quality. So in other words, therefore, the acharyas set the standard of how, what you do and how you do it, and we follow that. Because otherwise, you can come up with, you know, billions of ideas of how to do it otherwise. Yeah. Yes?
Use your example.
your Eskimos be your open chickpeas and your closed sack of chickpeas would be other people that you can preach to easier?
Not necessarily. It's just unless you live far enough up there, I don't think there'd be anyone devotee that far enough, you know, north in the Yukon. So, yeah, but then that's also there. You know, the amount of, if someone can do it, you know, it's just a matter of, you'd have to have the nature to be able to do it. You know, just like, the, you know, there's devotees that do the prison preaching. Not very many can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, because you have to go in there and get hardened criminals that aren't very much just, you know, impressed by anything, and get them to be impressed. I know one devotee who did. He went in, he was invited by the, you know, the person who was doing the prison preaching to a really high security, I mean really high security, meaning like you stick your hands through, you know, x-rays and stuff before you go in, and like that kind of jazz. And so then he goes in, he gives this class, and you know, this is all, you know, how you say, first class prisoners, meaning, you know, murderers and that level, you know, it's like, you know, they're not getting out of there.
Mature.
Yeah, mature. Respected, you know? Like that. He gave this lecture, and afterwards, this one really rough, tough, you know, older looking guy came up and shook his hand. He really appreciated it. But he shook his hand with two hands, you know, came up, shook his hand like that. When he finished shaking his hand and let go, he noticed he had a solid gold watch in his hand. You know? But the guy knows, because solid gold won't show up on the x-ray. So he got out with it. And then he gave that to the devotee who was running the prison ministry. Sell this, and then he got money to...
He gave him a donation.
Huh? He gave a donation. So that means, you know, you would have had to impress this guy.
Yeah.
You know? You know, because this was back in the 80s, so, you know, when it actually, gold watch meant something, then it was, you know. So he was impressed. So it's about how many people can do that? You know, how many people can, like, preach to college students? How many people can preach to the professors? How many people can preach to professionals? How many people can, you know, preach to the goths? How many, it means everybody has an area where they can preach, and so you preach there. So because people have contacts in some area, that's the idea, is that everybody cultivates 10 people. And then those 10 people will cultivate 10 people, and each like that. And then within, you know, basically, I think 4 levels, you know, basically have the whole city. You know, it's actually that simple. It's not complicated. So it can be done. So For most of us, yes, the Inuits would be chickpea, the loose chickpeas. But for most, even like professionals are loose chickpeas. You know, anybody with a brain is loose chickpeas. And nowadays, basically, the nicely packed sacks of chickpeas come from India. You know what I'm saying? Most all the temples now, they preach to the, you know, packed in India chickpeas. Like that. Because if it wasn't for them, you know, I don't know who would be coming devotees in a lot of the yatras. You know, because they have that piety and all that kind of thing. And, you know, they've been in the West long enough to figure out, well, maybe it's not as great as, you know, our grandmother thought it would be. You know? And so then they start to see it's okay. But that's because, I mean, one is because devotees preach, but two, because of their own piety. Mm-hmm. Like that. But before it was, hippies aren't really pious. No. That's just sheer force of, you know, preaching. But yes, you find out where's your sack of chickpeas.
There were some Danish devotees that went to Greenland.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't think they were very successful.
No. The polar bears weren't too impressed.
I haven't seen any polar bears at the Sunday feast.
No.
Something like seal blood.
Yeah, like that. You don't have sealed Pakuras.
Mm-hmm.
You did that, then you see a lot of them, I'm sure you know.
Yeah. I'll suggest that.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's just everything takes time.
Yeah.
So if someone has the ability and can do it, then it takes you get great results. Mm-hmm. The point is everything takes time.
Yeah.
Okay. Ether continues to transform into air. By the addition of more ego, right? The gross form of the tactile sensation. The mediation of air and the tactile sensation give rise to the sense of touch, which prana, or the life air, spreads all over the surface of the body. As ojas, the vital force which is experienced in the body is the power of sense perception. Okay, so this is from air. So air is also creates the ojas. So ojas is just the essence of the life air. Okay. In this way, fire, form, and vision, water, taste, and tongue, earth, scent, and nose come to be. Right, so what was it said? The mediation of air and the tactile sense, the sense of touch. Okay, so then you have air and the tactile sensation. Okay, so that means then you have the water and the tongue, so you get taste as the medium, right? Right. You have earth, nose, and then scent is the, you know, it's what comes in between.
Mm-hmm.
That's what connects them. So that's Upanishad. That describes this.
So that's what is fire?
Fire. Fire is form and vision. Fire, form, and vision. Like that. Because if there's light, you can see. There's form. Right? If there's water, there's taste. Right? Like that. And if there's earth, you can get smell. Like that. But then you have to have the nose to smell it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is why we see that it's important that where there is that pivot, that's where we actually catch the form of the culture to make the adjustments so that we go to the spiritual. Because right now we're using the pivot to reinforce the material.
Yes, what means the point is taste comes from Krishna, but also tongue and water, they all come from Krishna. But we're using them for ourselves, you just have to use them for Krishna. So use it for ourselves as Mahamaya, use it for Krishna as Yogamaya. But it doesn't change the position, that's what we're saying. The person lives in his house, he cooks dinner, he interacts with his family. But now it's just, in the house, they cook for Krishna now. They interact, you know, based on Krishna conscious things, but everything remains the same. Does that make sense? You don't have to, like, give up everything, and then only you can take up devotional service. From the position you're in, you can do. That's why it says change the consciousness. So it doesn't matter. It's as it is, yes. But it's not that if they're attached to it, it has to be like this, that will slow them down. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, let's say they have a car and he has a very fancy car simply for some prestigious things. You really can't buy groceries with it. It's very expensive. And every time you go over one of those little bump things, it's a real problem. So therefore, you have to drive around. You actually have to drive longer distance to use go in your Ferrari than you do when you just use the family car. Okay, so now, in the beginning, because of the importance of that and impressing a couple of friends, it may be important, but as he matures in devotional service, he sees the use of the car is in Krishna conscious activities, getting, you know, going out to, you know, so his work goes nicely, gets things for the family, he's able to go to the temple, so maybe he decides to become the monk that sells his Ferrari. Then it's done. Right? Because he sees the higher position. Right? No? Yes.
Marat, what is odor?
Odor.
Odor, yeah, like the smell.
Smell. You said odor is a fancy name for scent.
But what is a scent? I mean, is it earth?
It's coming from earth, yes.
Particles of earth?
It's the potency that is there in earth. Is that you can get fragrance from earth.
So the fragrance comes as a particle, earth.
But then if you're going to do it, then how is the sight? So then the particles of light, you know what I'm saying? You're dealing, of course, with atoms. But that's one perspective if you want to use Vaisheshika. But what's the point of atoms? The only point of atoms is that when they collect together, it's what you see. But when they are not collected together, then there's nothing to see. So they only collect together because you want to see it. You don't want to see it, they're not collected together. Therefore, if they're not collected together, it goes back to pradhan. So pradhan means without all this manifestation. That means without absorption. So that's the only use to that aspect of the philosophy, if you want to use that as the technique to break down the material energy. Right? But in doing that, then the problem is then what do you do about social forms and everything like that, and interacting, and so it's weak in that area. That's why we'll only use it if there's a problem. But otherwise, as a general thing, then we'll stick to Vedanta. You know what I'm saying? These other schools, they are parts of, but they in Vedanta they're not prominent. Like, we always present things logically, but it's not that logic is our method. You know, this atomic theory is also useful because everything is temporary. It comes into existence, it disappears. But the atoms remain. The atoms are eternal. You know what I'm saying? But that you see the atoms, that's temporary. It's only when Mahatattva is there. When pradhana is there, you don't see them because it's homogenous. So. Is that
said? Yeah, we're trying to look in the physics. So.
I'm saying the physics can work like that, but the point is we're not so worried about that end of it, because that's lower. We're talking about the potencies that are there. In other words, that you can see is because the Lord sees. He sees everything, and we have a sense that can have entrance into that world of seeing. And according to the power of our sense, we can see that much. But we're already seeing what's being seen. Right? Does that make sense? And sense, we're part of what is of the whole thing of seeing. We're actually the seen, not the seer. We think I'm the seer, but actually we're the seen. Does that make sense? So that aspect of philosophy will be more important. The other is there. These are facts. Yes, okay, there's the atomic elements of it. Then that's what's going to create the smell, the taste, the touch, and everything like that. But the point is that's a lower form. It won't give us as much effect philosophically as using the Vedanta. Does that make sense? So that's why we don't choose to use physics in its form that it is. We use physics in its natural form within Vedanta, because what they can't explain, we can. And if they want to get into super detail about something, you know, it's just like this. Let's say we want to set this place up for sitting. Okay, so we have the stone, we have the this, that, we put them all in place, we can sit, we can give the class. Now, there is somebody who is a world expert on this particular kind of stone, you know, and that, and he can come and tell you where it's from, and this and that, and there's this oil stain here, and then what exactly is happening, and all that thing. But does it really matter for giving the class? So that's the thing, is the nuclear physics, basically it doesn't have much importance in the actual upliftment of human life. It would be used in a few areas, but as an overall, overarching philosophy, it's very weak. Very weak. Does that make sense? So that's why we don't have any problem with it, but we'll categorize these things more in arts, because it's just getting into the art of analyzing something. It's not actually really, it wouldn't be what we call a science of the higher level. It's a science, but it's a lower level science, because it's only, you know, how do you call it? Ephemeral. It's not actually dealing with the consciousness. So that's the science that we're trying to deal with. So when we approach these, that's why they don't get into much detail, because if you want more detail, there are other scriptures that give more detail like that. So, but here it's just this is the view that will get you out. The other is how do you get yourself in?
like that. Yes.
All right, from this description, we get to get a light on the meaning that some shut it out, which are like, which is senses, a network, which
yes.
connects you to that.
Because you're connected to everything through your senses. It means we're having this discussion through the senses. Right? Does that make sense? You know, the ears and the ether, the tongue, you know, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, all these things are functioning. But you do it in connection with Krishna, you get the spiritual benefit. Right? You don't do it in connection to Krishna, then it binds one. Is that... Okay, thus inter... Oh, we got that. Okay, 10. Okay, no, we finished that. Srila Prabhupada explains, the whole process of creation is an act of gradual evolution and development from one element to another, reaching up to the variegatedness of the earth, as so many trees, plants, mountains, rivers, reptiles, birds, animals, and varieties of human beings, right? So that's when you get... That's the final... Because that's then what you're going to see it in. Because everything is, what you're seeing basically is the earth element, right? Even you see water, why do you see water? Because the earth element holds it, right? The water in the air, you don't see, you can't appreciate it. So it's the water with the earth. So that's where your real dravya comes. The quality of sense perception is also evolutionary, namely generated from sound, then touch, from touch to form. Taste and odor are also generated along with the gradual development of sky, air, fire, water, and earth. They are all mutually the cause and effect of one another. Right? Because one is coming down, but at the same time as you require one to get the other. Mm. Like that. So that's the whole thing. It's just like, why means water is after fire, right? Mm-hmm. But water can put out fire. Why? Because fire is generated from water. It means under the ocean, fire, there's fire. Yes. Right? So that therefore water can put out fire. So you have these elements that go back and forth. Yes.
Also with those dam generators, you can produce fire from water.
Yeah, like that. So the whole thing is each one is connected to the other. So there's no such thing as completely disengaging. And that's why, also because of that, why is that? So that means the subtle form is like that. That means the spiritual form is like that. That's why then, as we go through, we broaden our view, but in broadening the view, it creates confusion because then we're used to the terms being used in a certain way, then we find there's more ways they can be used. And then when we adjust to that, then we have a broader vision. And then as soon as we get that broader vision, go, yes, okay, then the acharyas introduce a new one. So we never become too proud that we know what's going on. They are all mutually the cause and effect of one another, but the original cause is the Lord himself, and plenary portion is Mahavishnu lying in the causal water of the Mahatattva. So that's the main point, is that it all goes back to him. Yes. Because of his desire, therefore it's happening. Like that. That's ultimately. So that's the point where no science and no philosophy can get back to.
Yes.
Right? That's then where it kind of ends. Yes.
That very last line was Mahavishnu's lying in the causal ocean of Mahatattva. What's the...
Mahatattva is the whole...
Yeah, I got that with the false ego added to it. So does that mean Mahavishnu's lying in the false ego?
No. It means that he has the potent of that. Because all these qualities are there in Krishna. But so to apply those qualities, then that's why Mahavishnu has incarnated. Like that. Yeah. Because it's always going on. It's not that it is a long time he's just laying there and then he creates. It's every breath out is a creation, every breath in is a destruction. And so every 3/4 of a second, then this is going on. So therefore you would say this is what's happening.
Is there ever a point where there's no need for the Mahatattva?
No, because everything's always expanding. It means the cosmos is always expanding. So that means the tripada is expanding and the ekapada is expanding. Yeah. You know? What do you say? We had triquadrantal and the uniquadrantal. Yeah. So it's, they're always expanding. So that means the spiritual world's getting bigger, but the material world's always getting bigger. Why is it, and so spiritual world means more living entities are going and living there, but then there's also more coming here, because God being unlimited, everything's there, it's just a matter of manifestation. So when the jivas manifest, then they make their choice and either go to expand the spiritual world or come to expand the material world. Yeah. Like that. Special offer. Right? Yeah. Position as Brahma opens.
Situation.
No, never they just this off.
That's why possibly that this request wasn't possible, right?
No, but it's still nice if you did that. That means everybody here could go, but then there's expansion and there's more. Like I said, when Lord Chaitanya went, then all those living entities went. So then it's just a matter of there's unlimited living entities, so then you just fill up with them. So it's not a problem.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
jai,
Jainatai Gaura Prema ki jai.
Maharaj, there is a lot of traveling. There is a lot of traveling between the material and spiritual world.
Yeah, both. I mean, there's a lot. But you also see when you get into Bhagavatamrita, is that when Gopal Kumar goes out, he just sees this constant line of devotees coming from Vaikuntha. You know, talking with each other and that, going into the material world to preach.
A lot of
material world is a popular preaching destination.
Yes.
She's the only one.
I guess you could say.